New information in the search for a missing passenger plane, but still no closure for families. This is CNN Student News. There's little hope and a lot of grief for the families of 239 people. That was the number on board Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which disappeared early Saturday morning. Word came out yesterday from Malaysia's government that somehow the plane's transponder was turned off. That's an instrument that transmits altitude, location, and direction. Malaysia's Air Force was still able to track the flight as it apparently turned and flew over the Strait of Malacca, hundreds of miles off course. Unfortunately, that's where the answers end. As of last night, there was still no sign of the plane. We can show you what it's like to search the area near the plane's last known location.
This is no easy task. This C-130 plane has been carrying out regular search and rescue missions since flight MH370 disappeared. It's the first time the Minister for Defence and Transportation and the Chief of Defence Force have been out to survey this massive operation. They invited CNN to join them.
I have to put this life jacket on because we're now descending to just 500 feet above sea level.
Flying low, the doors are opened for the search to begin. We flew past a number of ships, scouring the sea for the plane, those on board, or any clues at all to what happened.
I just want to find the plane, you know, at all costs. And as long as that we are still standing and as long as people are out there praying for us, we will continue to persevere. And this is something that I will not stop. This is what I promised the families.
We flew to the Malacca Straits, to the west of Malaysia.
There are 16 ships surveying this area. That's more than 12,000 nautical square miles. They're joined in the air by 14 aircraft.
And that's just the area to the west of Malaysia. There are more than 30 aircraft and more than 40 ships in the entire operation. As we look out across this vast expanse of water, far into the horizon, holding his head in his hands, the minister tells me he's overwhelmed.
When you're looking for something in this wide sea, it's a reality check. How to find even a huge aircraft like a 777. But we must never, never give up hope.
What's next today? Their countries may be at odds politically, but cooperation is strong in the space program. After 5 months on the International Space Station, an American, a Russian, and a native of Crimea made it safely back to Earth together on Tuesday. There's no space shuttle program, so you might be wondering how they got here. Well, here we go. They got on board the Soyuz, a Russian space capsule, and rode it back toward Earth. The Soyuz has a shield that protects it from the heat of re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Once it's there, a small parachute deploys, slowing the capsule down, then a larger one slows it further. And about 2 seconds before touchdown, some engines fire, making the landing as soft as possible. NASA pays Russia's space agency to transport American astronauts to and from the space station. Each trip costs the U.S. $71 million. You might not be familiar with the name Tim Berners-Lee, but you probably can't imagine life without his invention. You used it to view this show. The World Wide Web appeared on the scene 25 years ago today, and it made accessing the Internet a lot easier for untold numbers of people. But even in the mid-1990s, when there were some actual pages on it, they were sparse. Think black or gray text on a white background, maybe a couple low-resolution pictures. It was slow. Want to visit a web page? Be patient. It would load in a minute or two, or five. Even 6 years after the web was introduced, only 14% of American adults had internet access. Now it's more than 77% of all Americans.